If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Genesis in the 40th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, Genesis chapter 40. If you're visiting with this church family, we're delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible that you may study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find truth has been taught, our prayer is that you'll make the proper application. If you've never been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, all things have been made ready. Where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be buried with Him in the grave of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, a new creation, born again, added to the family of God, and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, our prayer is while we stand and sing, you'd make your way to the front so that we can help you and pray for you in any way. In the book of Genesis and the 40th chapter, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's the last verse, verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, the life of this young man, Joseph, is a very exciting life. His father, Jacob, loved him more than the other children, and thus he was despised by his brothers and left in the pit and was captured by the enemies when they sold him into captivity. Here his own brothers sell him and he's taken down to the land of Egypt. And can you picture in your mind what great hurt this young man must have endured? Would you think this was the greatest and deepest hurt in this young man's life? You might think so, but I'll tell you, this young man is going to experience other great grief. And I'll tell you, my friend, some of the greatest grief he may have experienced is in the words you find in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 23, when the Bible says the chief butler forgot him. I want you to think about, at that time, he was experiencing what we might identify as the sting of ingratitude. Now, this time of year, our mind is up on giving thanksgiving. But I'd like to talk for just a few moments of our time about the sting of ingratitude. When you look at Joseph being taken into captivity, you remember he found favor with Potiphar. And you remember that he served in Potiphar's house. But he was approached by Potiphar's wife, and she tried to get that young man to commit the sin of adultery. But that young man refused her daily, and you'll recall that on one occasion her anger was aroused when he refused her, and nobody else was in the house. And he ran from her, and she grabbed his coat, and then she accused him of trying to be with her. And you remember this aroused the anger of the man identified as Potiphar, her husband, and thus you find Joseph cast into prison. Here you see Joseph, and you find that he's in prison, and he becomes an individual that knows a man who was a chief butler and a man who was a baker. And you'll find that they had offended Pharaoh, and therefore he had put them into prison. Then you find in the book of Genesis and the 40th chapter that they both had a dream. And you'll remember that at this time they both had a dream, and Joseph saw that they were sad, and Joseph asked them what their dream was about. And you remember that Joseph interprets their dream. And Joseph told the chief butler that in 3 days he would be released and go back to his former place as the chief butler. But that man looked at the baker and told the baker he would hang. But if you remember in Genesis chapter 40, Joseph says to the chief butler, "Remember me." And yet, my friend, the Bible says in Genesis 40 and verse 23, the chief butler forgot him. But you know, my friend, he's going to remember him in about 2 years when it's going to serve his purpose. But he forgot him when it was of no benefit to him. Can you imagine the feeling in the heart of Joseph when he felt the sting of ingratitude that this man, who he had interpreted in his dream, had forgotten him? But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the 55th Psalm. And when you come to the 55th Psalm, you'll find David understood and felt this sting when an individual turned on him. In the 55th Psalm, look if you will, in verses 12 and 13. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it he who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. David said at this time, here was one who was a friend, and this friend turned on him. David said, had it been an enemy, he could have handled it better. But what hurt David at this time was he had a friend who turned on him, walked away from him, betrayed him, and David felt the sting of ingratitude. I want you to look and find those two individuals and recognize that both of them, both Joseph and David, knew what it was like to have somebody not be grateful, to have somebody turn on them, to have somebody forget them. And I'll tell you, there's a great pain in the heart to have someone turn on you. But that brings up a third thought in our study. If you take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, you'll find that a New Testament individual also felt the sting of ingratitude. And that is a man known as the Apostle Paul. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul was writing this last epistle to the young man Timothy, that Paul says in verse 10 that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Have you ever thought that that must have cut to the heart of Paul? That here was Demas, and Demas saw Paul in prison. He saw that Paul was probably going to be put to death. And what does Demas do? He departs and goes to Thessalonica. He loved something in Thessalonica more than he loved the Lord, and he forsook Paul and the Lord. Could you imagine the feeling in the heart of Paul when Demas left him? But then if you look in verse 16, notice that Paul said at his first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. But may it not be charged against them, because in verse 17, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I want you to think about that here is Paul, and he had felt what it was like to have others not show gratefulness, to be ungrateful, to be that kind of an individual that does not show thanksgiving in their life. But I want you to think about someone else for just a moment. If ever there was one who felt the sting of ingratitude, it would be in the life of Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, you'll remember that many times He did great works and people did not show gratitude one iota. I want you to think about in the book of Luke and the 17th chapter, that in about verse 12, Jesus heals 10 lepers. But you remember that only one came back and gave thanks to Him. Only one came back and bowed, 9 did not. Can you imagine how Jesus felt when the 9 did not come back? When they did not show gratitude for the fact that their leprosy had been removed? That Jesus had performed this great miracle to remove this dreadful disease from their body? And my friend, yet there was one that showed gratefulness. But can you imagine what it was like when Judas betrayed Him? Can you imagine what it was like when Judas came and betrayed the Son of the living God by placing that hypocritical kiss upon His cheek? Oh, I would that we could understand the pain in the heart. You remember Jesus looked at Judas and said, friend, why are you here? He knew why he was there. He's trying to get Judas to wake up to the thing he's about to do. And yet Judas places that kiss on his cheek. I bet that kiss hurt more than every slap and every punch to the face of the Son of God. Because here was one who showed ungratefulness. Here was one who betrayed Him and sold Him for 30 pieces of silver. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought about God the Father? Have you ever thought that He has felt the sting of ingratitude? Open your Bible back to the Roman letter and the first chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the first chapter, look, if you will, at verse 21. And notice what the Apostle Paul said about God. Here are individuals at that time, and notice what he said. Because although they knew God, now watch it, and measure what I say by the Word of God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Underscore, nor were thankful. Here were individuals at that time that did not give gratitude to God. They were not thankful for the blessings of God. They were not thankful for the things God had done for them, whether it be in the physical nature or the spiritual realm. And thus, my friend, God saw and felt the sting of ingratitude. Now, what I'd like to do for the remainder of our time is make application, and the lesson is yours. The first thing I want to ask is, have you ever felt the sting? Have you ever felt the sting of ingratitude? Maybe in the family life, have you ever felt that someone's taken you for granted? Maybe as a parent from your child, they fail to show gratitude. Or as a child, when the parent has neglected you and won't change from their attitude. I'll tell you, my friend, there can be a sting in the family life when there is an individual that shows ungratefulness. When an individual is ungrateful for their spouse or for their loved ones. And I'll tell you why a lot of marriages fall apart. We start taking for granted our spouse. We take for granted our family. And we don't appreciate them like we should. Now that may not always be the case, but I'll tell you something. It's so easy to take for granted people that show you love. And sometimes they may feel the sting of ingratitude. And sometimes you may feel the sting of ingratitude when someone you love deeply does not show the reciprocation. But my friend, have you ever thought about when a friend turned on you? Have you ever had someone turn their back on you? Have you ever had someone walk away from you? I've had some people say, now, Brother Richardson, I'll be behind you. And when I look back, they were way behind me. But I'll tell you something, we have sometimes felt the sting of a friend turning on us, putting the knife in your back. But I'll tell you something else. When you try to help somebody and they show no gratitude, that can cause a sting in the heart. Many have felt the sting of ingratitude. But that brings up something else. Have you ever caused someone else to feel that sting? Sometimes we sit back and we feel the hurt, but sometimes we initiate the hurt. How many times has Mike Richardson taken for granted the blessings of God and the blessings of friendship and the blessings of family? You know, when I look out at Eastside, I hope and pray that this congregation knows I have a genuine love for you. I recognize I've made a lot of mistakes in my time here. I recognize I've made a lot of blunders and a lot of things I should have done differently and a lot of things that I'd gone back I would do differently. And some people, I'm sure, hold that against me. And for that, I ask your forgiveness. I've asked my God to forgive me. But I will tell you, I hope and pray you never doubted the fact I loved you. I hope and pray that when you see Mike Richardson and you think of him, you know that though he made many blunders in life, he loved you. And I want to tell you something. Some of you have been such an encouragement to me, I don't know how to express my gratitude. There's been some of you that when I was discouraged and when I was down and when I was going through depression, just helped me through. Some people don't understand when someone gets down and has problems, but I'll tell you, there's been people in this congregation who has helped me. And they understood it. And I'll tell you, my friend, I'll never forget you for it. But if I've ever caused anyone to feel the sting of ingratitude, my heart's desire is you'd forgive it. But I'll tell you something else. Before we ever think about causing it, we need to remember something. We have all failed to remember God. How many have failed to thank Him for the blessings of life day by day? How many have failed to remember the Lord's on the Lord's day by being around the table? And sometimes we forget Him by putting other things first. Sometimes we're so entrenched in our problems and in our world and in our daily routine that we forget the blessings of God. I remember hearing about a popular speaker one time who saw a man being carried in to a place, and he said, "Have you ever thought that every misery missed is a blessing?" Now, sometimes a misery can be a blessing because it can put us back on the right relationship with God if we're away. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes we don't thank God enough. You know what he said in Philippians chapter 4? You remember in about verse 6? He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication." Look at the next two words. "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." You want to know why sometimes we don't thank God? We don't thank God for our blessings. We count our complaints and not our blessings. Oh, we need to thank God. And when we fail to respond to His will, and when we've forgotten all that He's done, have you ever thought that causes God to feel the sting of ingratitude? But I'll tell you something else. When we start to think we don't need God, that we think that we're so good and we're so mighty that we don't need the forgiveness of God, I'll tell you, God's hurt by that. Because there's not a one of us who can say we don't need the mercy and grace of God. But that brings up another question. Why do people fail to remember? Why is it that people fail to remember to be grateful? I'll tell you one reason. Selfishness. If the only time we're grateful is when we're around a table filled with food one time a year, and I'll tell you, we've missed what gratitude's all about. You read the Psalms sometime and notice the thanksgiving they give. Notice Jesus in John 11 thanked God that He would hear his prayer. Notice when Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, he thanked God for the saints. He thanked God for the, even the remembrance of them. When was the last time we thanked God for one another and we thanked God for His people? Eastside, I hope you're grateful for one another. I hope we're grateful, most importantly, to God. So often, we give God our complaints. And that's fine. It's good to go to God with our needs, as our brother said a moment ago. God already knows them. He knows them more than we, before we even express them. Knows more than what we need and what we want. But think about this, my friend. Anytime you're down, start thanking God for what you do have. And if you don't feel better after you pray, pray it again. Because I'll tell you what you start realizing. We're far more blessed than we deserve, both physically and spiritually. I teach sometimes to a group in India. I meet them on Facebook or on whatever it's called, FaceTime or whatever, depends on what it is that day, at about 11 o'clock at night on Monday nights or Tuesday nights. And here's a man who is going out and he's getting people to come and they're meeting without a roof on the building and listening to a man speak. And at the end, you just see their joy that they were able to study the Word of God. And they thank you profusely. I'll tell you something. Could it be that in our country we have taken for granted our right to worship for so long that it'll take us losing it before we thank God for what we have? Sometimes we don't know what we have till we lose it. And some of us better open our eyes and be thankful. And most importantly, be thankful that God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. Have you ever thought about, if I'm not grateful for that, then my heart needs to be re-examined. What amazing love God has shown us. Let us be grateful. Open your Bible as we close to Ephesians chapter 5. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing, and Paul is bringing to the mind of the people at Ephesus a very important thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, look if you will at verse 20. He said, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a direct command. You give thanks always for all things because God is doing it for our good. If you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is you won't turn away from God and be ungrateful for His sacrifice, but you'll be grateful that He sent His Son to die for you, and that this morning you'd be baptized as together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.